He goes, well, he's a good guy. He's harmless. And I said, yeah, I agree, but that's not what the Word of God says. And I just let that go because they didn't know. So the last time I walked into his room, and at that point he was dangling in between nothing and glory to glory. And I sat with him on the edge of the bed, and he confessed his sins, and he asked Jesus Christ to come in and to be his Savior. So it's at that point he went from glory to glory, if you will. And as 2 months later, we're still praying for God to reverse it all. But the comfort in all that and the comfort to my mom and my family is well, I don't mourn without a hope. If he dies, he wins. If he stays, he wins. But all the glory goes to Christ. Don't ever stop pressing in, for there's always that moment. And you have to find that moment, because that was the last time he was really coherent or even understood anything, and he did it. And now he's either staying or going home, and we'll wait and see.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother. And Mike's been standing on the Word for his whole family for years. Years and years and years. And you know, sometimes we don't see it in the natural. But I want you to know, when you don't see nothing happening, God's still working. Amen? Amen. We sing that all the time. Where's Kendra? Come on. There, you happy? It wasn't quite straight.
Good morning. Mm. I wrote stuff down because I don't want, if I get emotional, I'll lose my train of thought. But just first, I just wanted to share my life verse, which I know most of you probably know, but it says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, because he will direct your path. And God has used that verse over and over again in my life for a very long time. But this week, my grandma passed away. And those of you who knew her knew she was a sweet, sweet, sweet lady. And, you know, as we were singing this morning, it was so encouraging to, as we were saying, all that you start, all that he starts, he's going to complete. And if it's not beautiful right now, it's going to be. You know, I know that there's so much going on. I know in our lives with my grandma passing and so many other people walking through things, and they're hurting and they're struggling. But we have hope. And it's a time for us to share that hope. And another scripture, I wrote it down because I know I will miss something. It says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So I would just encourage you this morning to take every single thought captive, because it's so easy for our thoughts to trail away, and we lose track of who we are and who we belong to and the power that we possess. So don't forget to take every thought captive.
So I'll just add to that. Many years ago, probably actually all the way back to Greenville, we sang a song called Whose Report Will You Believe? And there's this actual scripture that says that, right? We shall believe the report of the Lord. And that's something that I have built into my life, really tried to stand on for whatever. And then about 12 years ago or so, I started having issues with my back, as a lot of you know, and I got an MRI that revealed that I had discogenic disease up and down my spine. The doctor had said, I was 37, I believe it was 37 at the time, and he said, you have a spine of a 73-year-old. So basically, my wife and pastor had the same reply: whose report are you going to believe? And so, but that's disturbing, obviously, and it's discouraging, and so over the course of over a decade, I've struggled, you know, with issues in my back, herniated disc and bulging disc, and so, which were also revealed in an MRI. So anyway, time has gone on. I've learned how to, you know, wage war and obviously change some things in my life, nutrition and all that. So I went to the doctor about 2 months ago and got another MRI on my neck and my back. And so he begins to tell me that everything looks good. And I was like, okay, so what does that mean? What does it look good? Because I don't feel, you know, good. He goes, so what does it look like? And he said, well, it just looks like we gotta do some physical therapy. And I said, right, but what is the MRI reading? And I told him about what I had read last time. And he said, there's nothing here that says anything about discogenesis. So, you know, I'm somewhat of an analytical guy. So I was like, what about the herniated discs? And he's like, there's nothing on there that says herniated discs. So I was so excited, you know? And so now we're just on to the next phase of warfare. And, you know, if I know anything about God and his character, I know he's good. And I know he's a healer. And so we're going to enjoy watching God manifest that healing in every part of my body. So, amen.
Huh? No, you want to wrestle? You want to wrestle? Sure. Your back shield, come on. You still can't take me. Where's Brenda? Come on, Brenda. For those of you who don't know, this is Miss Brenda Vermilion.
Good morning. So I was brought up in a Christian home. We, you know, went to church, we prayed. My mom's a prayer warrior. So that wasn't strange for me. But on August 18th of 2019, it was on my heart to come up for healing. I had gone for healing many times before, but this was different because I asked Brenda for healing of my heart, my mind, and my soul. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just my physical illnesses that I had. So since then, I have been on a prayer journey. I Amen. Have been delivered from my illnesses. I had Amen. Hip dysplasia, and I have no more pain. Amen. My pain was always above a 10. Amen. I have lupus, went to the doctors, and had blood work drawn. All my numbers are normal.
Yeah,
my inflammation's gone.
Amen.
Yeah. But what really touches my heart is, as a mom, I know that you pray for your children from the day they're born.
That's wonderful.
So for my children, as most of you know, your kids make decisions and they do their thing.
And what?
I know, surprising, right? So during this journey in September of 2019, was listening to a Pastor Drone talk about forgiveness. So I went into a few relationships that I needed to ask for forgiveness for. Even though I felt like I was the one offended, I knew I needed to fix that relationship. So I did. Wow. What a difference.
Amen.
My battle position for prayer is on my knees.
Yeah.
And I knew that that's where I had to be, on my knees and face down. And I would cry out to the Lord for my kids, for my family, my brothers, my siblings, my parents. October of this year and November of this year, my son and my daughter both asked for salvation.
Yeah.
My daughter's husband asked for salvation.
Yeah.
My son is here with me today.
Amen.
My daughter is home, watching from home.
Amen.
And I just know that there is so much power. And if you feel in your heart that there's a day where you just have a feeling of heaviness, you just feel heavy, fast and pray.
Yeah.
Hit your knees and fast and pray. I'll tell you, it makes the world of difference.
Amen.
In so many situations. And I know I have still got people that are on my prayer list, but I know that God is worthy, and there are times where I'm on my knees praying, and all I can say is, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Because that's what you say, is just thank you.
Yeah, amen. That's beautiful. Amen. Where's Pastor Mike? Amen. There's power in prayer.
Amen. So this verse that Mike was thinking about is says, "Whether if we live, we are the Lord's. If we die, we are the Lord's. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." And to think about that with your brother. I was talking with my brother this week on Monday. He called me up, or I called him, to see what he was doing for Christmas. And he says, we went over our plans, but he's like, you need to, I got a call from my doctor earlier today. Well, not the doctor, but the nurse, and she said, Mr. Lambert, we want to have you back in for a second procedure. Please call the doctor. We want to get this scheduled as soon as possible. And then she hung up. Well, the week before, he had had an endoscope in the front side, the back side, just check them all out because he had an upset stomach and he wasn't sure what was going on. Well, they said the one scope came out okay, but the other one, he said they found some polyps inside in his stomach, and they were too big to be removed at that time. Usually, if they're small enough, they'll just take them right out. So the nurse called and left this message and said, we want to schedule you right away. Well, he's at work Monday afternoon. He couldn't call back. They had already closed. So all he had to do was just think about that and think about that and think about that. Well, it was about 10 years ago where he gave his life to the Lord. He called me up and told me that. So I know that he knows the word. He knows the truth. He knows what he's supposed to do. So I told him, I says, you need to go out to your car. Leave your work right now. Go out to your car. Just sit in your car and be afraid. Worry. Wonder. You know, let your thoughts run wild. And he says, you're an idiot. Well, if he's my brother, too, and most of my brothers know that, yeah, I'm sarcastic like that sometimes. So, but he said that to me. I said, no, really. I said, you can worry all night long. You can be anxious all night long. You can do whatever you want, and it's not going to change anything. Or you can believe what the word of the Lord says. Whose report will you believe? So we're going to believe the report of the Lord. I said, you know what? He's got you. He saved you. He has already given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. He's going to take care of this. When you give your life to God, you become his property. He takes care of his stuff. He takes care of you and he takes care of your stuffs. Whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. We're his stuff and he's going to take care of you. So the power in that whole thing was in my brother believing the word of the Lord and just being there for him and able to share that with him. So it's not me. It's not my strength. It's only what God has already said. So if you need to study, you need to know, you need to be able to encourage people and give them that peace. You know, because most
people.
What happened
with your
brother? What happened? Oh, geez, yeah. So
you got us on the edge of our seat, baby.
Yeah. Okay. So that was Monday night. He texted me back the next morning. And I want to get this right here. He just
does a Z on his phone, just so you know if you need to hack.
It's easy access.
Okay.
Tests came back fine from my first procedure.
Amen.
They want to remove all the polyps in my stomach to prevent any more issues, so I'll be having that procedure on Monday morning, which is tomorrow at St. Peter's. Thanks for all the prayers and helpful words. Love you, bro.
Amen.
So, anyway.
Amen.
Tomorrow.
Amen.
Tomorrow at some point.
Amen.
So God is good. He is. Yeah. He takes care of his stuff.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, brother. You know, so many times we come and we hear the word of the Lord, and then so many times we don't have a lot of time to share testimonies. And I just want to take this morning to remind every single person here, your battle position is not like this, but it is, as Brenda said, on our knees. Believing God, agreeing with God, standing on his word, his report. I don't care how many doctors talk to you. I don't care how many people talk to you. He has the final say. And if we'll stand in faith, we'll walk in victory. Amen? And then one thing I like to do is Miss Debbie and Abby, come here. Come on up here. Come on, Abby. That's all right, Abby. I know it's your first time here. This is Miss Debbie Jablanski and her daughter, Abby. And I want the elders and their wives to come up, please. Come on, guys. And we're going to pray for you. Miss Debbie lost her husband last Saturday. I told you guys about where he was crushed under a truck. And so we've been reaching out to them. And obviously, Abby lost her daddy. And so we need to be the body of Christ. Amen? And these guys are part of the family of God. And so today I just wanted to bring them up because I wanted you guys to meet my friends, my neighbors and my friends who are very special to us. And we're just so blessed because of them. Now you're going to make me cry. You know what? So if you would stretch your hands forward, come on. Father, we just thank you. For these beautiful ladies. Lord, we thank you that in a time of need, you're always there. Father, so many times we walk through things and we do not know why. But Father, you're the one that holds us and keeps us. You're the one that watches over us. You're the one that makes a way. And Lord, in a time when they are weak, you said they are strong. When they rest in you. And so, Father, we pray now for strength in their hearts. And a strength, oh God, that when the word of God is read or spoken over their lives, it builds them, it strengthens them. And Father, we make a decision to come alongside of them, to hold up their arms, oh God, when they're weak, and hold them close to our hearts. We pray, Father, a perfect peace upon them now. You said in this life we're going to have trials, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And Father, we agree, and we know that Jay, he said he loves you and he believes in you, and therefore he's in your arms. And Lord, now, as his wife and as his baby girl walk through these days, Holy Spirit, come and comfort them. Come and fill them up in the name of Jesus. Father, fill them with the love, with direction, with wisdom and understanding, nurturing each one, oh God, in that place of need. And Father, we thank you for these beautiful gifts. And Father, we agree that they have a purpose and a plan now. It's changed from what they have seen and thought. But your purpose and your plan has never changed. And we pray, oh God, that they would be blessed coming in and going out, that their eyes would be fixed on you, their ears would hear that whisper, even in the middle of the night, that there wouldn't be other thoughts or other ideas in their mind except you filling the room. Father, fill their rooms with your love and your mercy, for you are the God that heals, strengthens, and delivers. And we give you all the praise and the glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Typical daughter, huh? Said, if there's anything you need, she said, take care of mom. I got to go back to work tomorrow. You know, the Bible says that when one hurts, we all hurt. You know, and to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. So I really want to encourage you, you know, write their names down, the Jablonski family, and keep them in your prayer. They live on a very holy road. Dunbar, where we live, and so if you ever want to come up and get blessed, come on up and drive up and visit them, all right? Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 3, she says, because that's when Abby has to work. How good is God? He heals, he delivers, and thank God he saves. Because let me tell you something. The Petromali family, they were out of control when I was in school. And God's been setting each one of them free one at a time. Cousins and nieces and nephews. Oh, he's beautiful. He's beautiful. You know, the last couple weeks we've been talking out of Judges chapter 1. Saying that when the tribe of... Tribe of Benjamin became strong. Tribe of Dan became strong. They subdued their enemies. And I know that some of you have enemies in here today. Most of your enemies are a figment of your imagination. Most of them are a thought that you've been battling for a long time. Maybe some of you this morning almost didn't come to church because you thought, I've been standing on this and I haven't seen anything happen. Thank God that so many testimonies came and say, hey, I just want to tell you what happened. We don't know what day, but we do know that his word is powerful. Amen? Ecclesiastes 8:4 says what? Where the word of the king is, there's power. Where the word of the king is, there's power. And we listened to the power of God being made manifest in people's lives this morning. And you know, as I was, we only got a couple of minutes. And when I was in my office, when I was in prayer here earlier, I knew, I was like, Lord, I can't do what I had typed up. And I knew we had to bring some testimonies in. And one of the questions that I was thinking about is the question is, what will we be satisfied with in our Christian life? Because really, like this time of year, it's an issue of what will satisfy you, right? All the gifts from last Christmas didn't satisfy you. That's why you went out and bought some more this year. I haven't bought any this year, just saying. Because my wife didn't give me no money, so I can't go out and buy any, all right? But not really. But what will satisfy you in your Christian life? We know that the world, there's nothing that satisfies, amen? But what's going to satisfy in your Christian life? You know, many are satisfied in their walk with the Lord with far less than what God wanted them to have. And that's the question. Are you satisfied with far less than what God has promised you? Right in Judges chapter 1, we saw where the Israelites didn't drive out the enemy. They were satisfied with allowing the enemy to work with them and to walk alongside of them. And eventually it polluted the whole system. Because what happens is when we allow the enemy in, it pollutes everything. You ever allow one wrong thought in? How many thoughts does it pollute? All of them, right? You go on for days and weeks and months, right, JoJo? You and Larry, yep. They're looking at their phones, laughing and giggling to each other. But you've got thoughts that go on. Sorry, guys. I love you too much, though. You've got thoughts that go on. And on and on. But God wants to deliver you from them wrong thoughts. And we said, whatsoever things are what? Pure. And that's the biggest question that you're going to have to ask yourself. But you're going to have to ask yourself, am I satisfied with far less than what God said I can walk in? I know where he wants you to walk, in the fullness. That means every single promise that's written in his word, he wants you to enjoy. Right? He wants you to walk in that, enjoy, and be prepared to walk in the freedom of that promise. He said, when you ask him to forgive you of your sins, what happens at that moment? When you repent and you ask for forgiveness, you're saved, right? So he said, at that moment, I promise to wash away what? All of your sins. How many thoughts of your past sins have captivated you this past week? Because you couldn't let them go, even though he said, I've already washed them away. How many times when someone comes to you, do you back down because you're afraid you might not have the answer? So mere mortal opinions hold us back from sharing a truth that sets even the darkest, brutalest criminal on the planet free. The one who has done far beyond anything you can ask or think. One moment with the Lord and he's still set free. And yet, how many times do we hold back because of a thought that comes in and it's impure? It's wrong. And we're living in less than what God has promised us. Far less than what God has provided us. What has he provided you? Has he given you all things that pertain to life and godliness? That's what his word says for me. I'm not walking in all of that. I'm not experiencing all of that. A lot of it, yes. A lot more than I did 34 years ago. A whole lot more freedom in that, where the things of this world, they lose their luster, right? As you grow a little bit older, sometimes it just comes with age because you can't do it anymore when it comes to sports. He's over here shaking his head. There's some things that you just can't do physically, and therefore they're not a distraction. But there's other things, they just don't have the draw anymore. Because something in the Word of God grabbed a hold of our hearts, and it says, hey, this is what God has for you. Will you walk in it? And that's what my heart's cry is this morning. My heart's cry is, are you settling for less than what God promised? And have you just sort of acquiesced or said, well, that's where my limit is? Can I tell you this morning, there is no limit in God. No man or woman has walked in the fullness of all that God has promised yet on the planet. Not one besides Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's a lot of growth for each and every one of us. Amen? And you know what? And it's always an issue of the heart, and we've said this many times. And then in the issue of the heart, when we look at, in whether it was Matthew or Mark or Luke, when it talks about Jesus being baptized, and I want you to turn to the Word of God there, to Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 and 17. As I read from 2 Peter first, it said, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything." Tell your neighbor, say everything. "Pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." So it's not about your glory. It's not about your power. He called you according to his glory. His glory has no end. Therefore, his power has no end. It's not limited the way that ours is. So if you turn now over to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13 to 17, it says, "Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answering said to him, 'Permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up and immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And we know that scripture very well. He was well pleased because of the acts of obedience. Amen? Here he was, the Son of God, and now a mere man that God's created baptizes Jesus to fulfill all righteousness according to the plan of God. And it's amazing with John the Baptist, the Bible says that he was the greatest prophet of the Old Testament. And the scripture says that there was no one greater, but there was no one born that was greater than John, right? Until the Spirit of God comes, or until Christ came. But when we look at John's ministry, the historians say that John probably baptized about 1 million people. That's what the historians say. About 1 million of them John baptized in the Jordan. That's powerful what God can do. Right? Now they walked out into the desert to go meet this guy. Who walked out to meet him? Kings and leaders and peasants. Everybody wanted to see what was going on because the power of God was being made manifest through John. All through John. He was a man of holiness and one that glorified the Father. And you know, he was one of those prophet seers because he could see into the hearts of man. Right? Men came, and what did he say? Brood of vipers. He could see into their hearts past the facade. Can I tell you, we need to look past the facade. Just look at your neighbor. Now look at your other neighbor. What did you see? No, don't tell me. Don't say it out loud. John the Baptist was a seer, and he could see into the hearts of men. And 1 million people came and sat at John's feet, listened to him preach the word of God, were water baptized, baptized into repentance, right? And then what happened when Jesus came? See, when Jesus came, John could still see into the heart, and he saw purity. He saw a heart like no other. And what is the man that's baptizing everyone, calling him out as brood of vipers, telling him, repent? What does he say? He said, wait a minute, I need. All that he had, all that he was doing, but when Jesus came, all he could see was his lack. He saw what the Christ had. He knew the beauty and the majesty because he was looking into other men's hearts. But when he looked into the heart of the Son of God, the one who God was using mightily, he said, I need from you. He saw perfection. He saw beauty. He saw a heart that needed nothing. One that was so stayed on the Father, so filled with beauty and majesty that there was nothing to extract. No repentance was needed because no sin had entered the body. But yet Jesus came and said, no, I still have to be baptized by a mere man because my Father said so. I have to fulfill all righteousness. I can't leave anything undone. Which brings us to the next question. Is there anything that God has asked us in righteousness that we have left undone? Is there anything? And I really want you to seek your heart, because this is a time when the world is looking for answers. Those who don't know Jesus Christ, they're open right now. They're open. You want to talk to people about the Lord? Be a bell ringer. I don't care if it says Salvation Army. You get to ring the bell and tell everybody that Jesus loves them, everybody that walks in. You want to be a beacon in the neighborhood? Go out there. And look at, now you can wear a mask so nobody even knows it's you. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Of course, you guys aren't anyway, though, because you love the Lord. But the question is there anything left undone that you haven't surrendered, or that you, God has spoken and said, we need to get that? Like when Brenda came up, not my wife, Brenda Vermilia, but when Brenda Vermilia came up and she said, I had to go and repent to people that I felt offended by. Is there anybody in your life that you feel offended by that you need to go and repent for? Well, what am I repenting to them for? I'm the one that was offended, but you held unforgiveness. And you can't do that. We're going to have to go and repent to anyone that has offended us, because otherwise we're the ones in bondage. Amen? So are you living in less than what God has promised? Have you enjoyed the fullness of all that he has promised? Are we holding on to something that he said to let go of? And only you can answer those questions. When I look at John and we look at the power of his ministry, and yet when Jesus comes, beauty comes, purity comes, and that's what we have to walk in. If we have, if we're holding something against anyone else on this planet, then what we're doing is we've got some darkness we got to let go of. Amen? We've got something that's hindering us from walking in all that God has promised. Because he said, I've given you all things that pertain to what? Life and godliness. Godliness is alive and well, but it only is in the light. There's no, God does not dwell in darkness. Amen? Darkness cannot come near his dwelling. Can't. No sin can come near God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we have access, right? Now we have access into it. And one moment with him, we said last week, and everything has changed. Just like Mount Sinai, it's never been known. It's never been the same again since the presence of God descended upon a piece of dirt. Just on dirt. And it's changed people's lives. People have left and gone to Mount Sinai to hike Mount Sinai because of what's written in the Word of God. And now that king lives on the inside of you. The one who descended on Mount Sinai lives inside of us. That kind of power where if anyone touched that mountain, they died. The purity of God, the power of God in vessels of honor. And this is where we need to walk, letting go of those things which are behind and pressing on to that goal, pressing on to that prize, pressing on, hitting that mark, letting loose of anything that you've been hanging on to. Excuse me. Let nothing ever set our heart falling so madly in love other than him. Because where self begins, sorrow begins. Where self begins, sorrow begins. But when God comes in, joy comes in. Amen? There might be weeping in the evening, the Bible says, but what happens in the morning? That joy comes in the morning. Why? Because he said, my mercy is going to be brand new. How often? Every morning. Every morning, his joy is going to be plenteous for you. So there's weeping that may come in the evening. And I'll tell you what, last night we went to bed about 10 o'clock and fell asleep. And I woke up at 11:15. And I'm like, man, it must be time to get up. And I look at my clock. I'm like, no. But my mind kicked in. And I started thinking about all the things that I had to get done by the end of the day tomorrow. And I couldn't shut my mind down. So I just got out of bed, I went out on the couch, and I just sat there meditating, and then I break out my phone and I make my list for the next 2-3 days. It's the only way that I can relax my mind is get it all written down. And I'm saying that because if you're woken up or if you're struggling with something, get it in your phone, find the scriptures that teach you to deal with that, and don't stop until you accomplish it by the next day. Amen? Just because, if he wakes you up, or listen, If you're hanging on to unforgiveness or bitterness, Lord, wake them all up at 1 o'clock, who's ever hanging on it. Don't let them sleep past one, Lord. Day after day until they do what you told them to do. They'll be walking around. I haven't slept in a week. Well, you better go forgive them and God will give you a rest again. It is for freedom that he set us free. Amen? Freedom. Write it down. Look it up. Deal with what you got to let go of. Because you're not allowed to live with less than what God promised. You're not allowed to live walking through at half power. Who wants a flashlight at half power in a storm? You ever had one of them old ones? Woom, woom, woom. You can tell it's somebody in the house, but you don't know who it is. What do you want to do? You want to throw that stupid thing out? Give me some new batteries. That's what Jesus does. He recharges your batteries. And that's what he wants to do this morning. Amen? Stand up this morning. First Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Tell your neighbor, say, "I'm God's." Tell your other neighbor, say, "I'm God's." Good. Just want to remind you whose you are. John 15:8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall be my disciples." He's glorified when we bear fruit. When we forgive him, when we let go, when we step into that place and that agreement with the Word of God. I want testimony after testimony after testimony of how God transformed lives. Amen? We should have testimonies every single day about what God has done. Bringing entire families into the kingdom of God in a fell swoop. One swoop. Healing time after time. Delivering from addictions and everything else under the sun. Setting at liberty those that were captive. Bringing into the body of Christ those that have felt like they were on the outside looking in. That's who we are. That's the power that you possess. That's the power that you have. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters this morning. And Father, no different than John the Baptist, Father, this morning we say we need. We need, when we look on you, Father, we need you above all else. And if there's anyone in here and you never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your lives, the Bible says that we're to repent, which means to turn from the wicked ways that we were walking and start to walk after the Word of God. And so this morning, if you've never received him, we want to give you an opportunity. Everybody just close your eyes as we're praying. And I just want the church to agree with me this morning. Say, "Father, I repent of anything that I have done or said, put my hands to, looked at, or listened to. This morning, I agree to turn from the way I was walking. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I make a decision to make you the Lord of my life. Thank you that right now, every curse is broken and I am free indeed in the name of Jesus." And Father, I thank you this morning for each one, oh God, that has received you. Lord, I thank you for the chains that have fallen off. Father, I thank you for those that are walking in agreement with your word, doing what your word says. And Father, when we agree with your word, we walk in it. There's great fruit that comes into each one of our lives. And so, Father, today, for those that have accepted Jesus Christ, we thank you. Father, pour out your blessing upon them, your presence over them in their homes, oh God. Let each one know that today is the first day of the rest of their lives. And today, every lie and curse has been broken. And all of the sins of yesterday are washed away. They're a new creature, according to your word. Never before have they been seen on the planet because they have obeyed your word. Father, let us walk out this week agreeing with your word. Let us bless those that curse us. Let us give to those in need. Let us sow, oh God, like we never have before. For you, we agree that you are the one that supplies all of our needs. Let us give the words of kindness. Give the words of encouragement. Let us bless and not hold back, oh God. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And Father, you're praised when we walk according to your word, when we obey you. Thank you for opening up the windows of heaven over us today and raining down with your perfect love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, if there's anyone in here and today's the first day that you've ever accepted Jesus, please don't leave until you come and see me, because we've got some information we want to give you and we want to get you strong in your walk with the Lord. So don't leave without seeing me, because we want to get you stronger.